I want to say that I'm certainly appreciative of the opportunity to look out among you, and I just think back, this church has truly changed my life. And I ain't just saying that. It really has, along with the presence of the Lord. Sit right there during my ordination and begin to wonder, how in the world did we get here? I just looked around at you guys and the love that you continue to show me. And I'm forever indebted to you. I love you. Amen. Thankful for your pastor. He's been such a good example to try to look up to. Means the world to me. I don't tell him enough. Don't talk to him enough. We've each got different jobs, but I do love him. I love each of you. And have full confidence in this church. If you got your Bibles and you want to read along with us, we'll try not to take too much time or take too much time in getting going. But if you got your Bibles, you want to read along with us, turn with us to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. And we'll give you a moment to get turn there, and there's some things that we want us to consider this morning. I thought about our lives and how there's often so many battles that we seem like that we're caught up in. And as time progresses, that'll continue. It'll never change. Some people would say our biggest battle is trying to deal with Satan, and I would say that would be true. I wouldn't argue with that. But I believe our own human nature and our own flesh is a lot of times a battle that we can get caught up in dealing with. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, he writes, there's a time for everything under the sun. Then he gets on down to the eighth verse, and he says there's a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And if we was going to put a title on a thought this morning, we'll title it A Time of War. A time of war. And before we go any further than that, I don't want a misconception that it's okay for us as God's people to go into battle with one another. It's not, or even the evil of this world, all the things going on around us. We don't fight evil with evil. We don't. The scripture tells it plainly over and over. In fact, the Lord, when he was arrested from the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, in a very bold move, right before he denied him three times, you know what he did? He took out his sword, pulled it out, and cut one of them high priest's ears off. Did the Lord tell him to get the other one? No. Put it up. So we're not in a war with flesh and blood or a war within each other. We're in a war with our adversary. And not only that, with our own flesh. Amen. And I'll say this. There's times when I find that it's hard for me to get my flesh out of the way. James said in James 4 and 7, he said, submit yourself unto God and then resist the devil and he'd flee from you. The hardest part for me in the battle is submitting unto God. Submit. As this church, and I begin to wonder, this is titled Your Homecoming, and I begin to wonder and look at things, and it was established on October 30th, 1983. We know the building there was built before that. I begin to wonder, what is she going to look like as time progresses? Are we going to be continued to willingly fight the battle that is laid out in front of us? Jehoshaphat was in a battle. He was... he kind of teamed up, I guess you could say, with King Ahab. Just recently had a near-death experience. And then word gets around that the enemies there from the east, the Moabs and Ammonites, and I guess Edom was down there somewhere too. He'd got word that they was coming to destroy him. I would say it probably looked like there was not much hope from him, his standpoint, his vantage point. There's times that you and I can get in battles in this life. We can look at it like there ain't much hope. My friends, there he is. I want us to take notice just for a moment, short period of time, of what it was that Jehoshaphat did. We'll start reading in the third verse, and it says, Jehoshaphat feared. I begin to think about this, and how that it may have been a little scary for him, what was going on. But I don't believe that's exactly what the Scripture is trying to teach us here. If you look at that word, feared, it means to reverence. That's the very first thing it was that he done. I believe that he was trying to give reverence to God for who God was. You see, it's important for us to realize who it is that we are when it comes to God and realize what it is that he is and what he can do. I'll just go ahead and tell you. The end of the battle. I won't probably read that far. It was God's battle. Amen. All to begin with. It was. But anyway, Jehoshaphat, he's the king over Judah here, and he calls Ori feared or showed reverence. If you don't hear anything else that I say today, I want you to hear this. And he set himself to seek the Lord. I believe he made some mistakes on before this. But I believe his eyes were centered and focused where they need to be. You see, us, as God's people, our eyes are to be centered on the one thing that matters, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, if our eyes are focused upon him, then I'm telling you that everything else that happens in our life, you see, the things that go on in our life, the bad times, the things when times don't go our way, or maybe it begins to rain. If your eyes are truly set upon him, amen, it works out exactly how it's supposed to. He set his eyes upon God. Don't ever let our outward circumstance or our circumstance in life change. Or in this church, as time progresses and it goes on, don't let the things, the noise, or the loudness, let us lose focus on where our eyes are supposed to be set upon. It says, and Judah proclaimed a fast throughout of all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together and asked help of the Lord. Even out of the city of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord of God, our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen in the land? Hand is not thy power and might, so that is none able to withstand. Art thou not our God, whom didst drive out inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and give the seed to Abraham, thy friend, forever? And dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein of thy name, saying, if when evil come, up as a sword, judgment, and pestilence, of famine, we stand before this house, and the house, and cry unto the affliction, then wilt thou hear and help. And now thou behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. And when thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when thou come out of the land of Egypt, but thou turn from them and destroyeth them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come and cast out of thy possession which thou hast given to inherit it. We're going to skip down just a little bit. Actually, we'll read the 13th verse. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. There was unity. Amen. There was unity among them. And I'll say this, when times get bad, you look at our country, and I'll say this, when things go wrong, 9/11, September 11th, you would find maybe more unity than I've ever seen in my life. In battle, I'll say this, in battle, it's important that we are unified. It's important that we're unified for the one cause. Amen. And that's to worship the Lord. The Apostle Paul, I want you to think about this. I want us to think about it for just a moment of time. The things that this life offers and the things that it maybe would give to us. And I thought about our forefathers when we was looking at some of this and the things that they didn't have and the things that we do have. And it's why it's so hard for us to fight the flesh. But if you really want to be a soldier in the army of God, I believe there's going to have to be some putting away of the flesh. There's going to have to be some sacrificing. I thought about this, and when this church was established in 1983, Ronald Reagan was the president. He got elected there in 1980. And in 1981, he was given his inaugural speech, and he had said something. I went back and read this, but he had said something that had stuck with me. And I want us to think about us as soldiers to God. But anyway, he was talking about a young man fighting there in World War I. in 1917. It said he'd left his town, in a small town barbershop, and he went over to France. And it said that he was taking a message in between two battalions. And in that, they'd come under a heavy artillery fire, and he had died. And they found a diary on this man. And they'd read the diary sometime later, but it said, "In my pledge." Then under that, under the heading there, it said, "America must win this war." He went on down, and he said he'd fight, and he said he'd work, and he would sacrifice, that he wouldn't endure, that he would fight cheerfully, and approach the whole battle like the outcome of the war was to lie solely upon his shoulders. My friend, the outcome of the war that we're in, it don't lie solely upon our shoulders, but we ought to go into it like the outcome of the war. Why? Because the war that you and I are in today, there's souls, lost souls hanging in the balance. There really is things worth fighting for. The things that I grasp hold, and I am guilty, guilty, guilty of these world things that don't matter, things that'll perish, things that'll go away, things that'll burn up. One day after a while, and you know what I'll do? I'll take them and I'll grab a hold of them and I'll put them exactly where they don't belong. The Lord needs to be number one. In my life, my friends, if this world is dark as it is, will ever see Jesus, my friends, they'll have to see him in you and I. Do you know that? They will. Paul told the church at Corinth that he was determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It was the only thing. You know why? You know why that's all he's determined to know? Because it's the only thing that matters. Him in his spirit. After that, in the third chapter, Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth him increase. Neither is he that planted, neither is he that watered, but God which giveth the increase." That's what it's about, folks. Our lives and the things that we can gather, the physical things, none of that matters. And you're built different. You know that? Why? Because you've been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Chelsea and Kenley and Kylie, they went up to a goat sale somewhere, I believe maybe Somerset, Kentucky here, a few weeks back. Kylie, she'd stayed at home with me. And I don't know, it was about 7 o'clock in the morning. I asked Kylie, "Kylie, you want to go get us some breakfast at Dairy Queen?" She said, "Sure, I'll go." We get up there, we pull in. I look back at Kylie, my youngest. When I look back at her, I said, "Kylie, what do you want for breakfast?" She says, "An orange cream shake." I said, "Do what?" I said, that's a pretty odd thing to want for breakfast. I like bacon, egg, and cheese, biscuits and gravy." She looked at me dead in my eyes, and she said, "Daddy, I'm built different." Church today, church,
Amen.
You're built different. You don't have to fall into what the world tells you to do. You don't have to fall into it and go along with it. You're built different.
Amen.
You be different. You be different. The Lord Jesus, he talked about, I'll just throw over and read it. But he talked in the 15th chapter of John. I want you to think about this for a moment of time. 15th chapter of John, I'll just read a couple more verses. But he said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world," which we shouldn't be, "if you were of the world would love his own. Because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world..." The world hateth you. Folks, we do not happen to fit in with this world. We live in it. I guess to a certain extent we're a part of it. We don't have to fit in with it. We don't. We're a city set out on a hill, not because of what we did. We're sinners saved by grace at our very best day. That's what we are. But because what he did for us in the heart of us. Ain't that good to know? Not because of what I did. I'm nothing. There's nothing good about me other than what he did for me. So the physical things, the secular things, all the things, boy, that are flashy and grab our attention, put them number two. Amen. As time progresses, this church, I do, I believe she's going to continue growing and continue moving on. But you put him first and everything else will just fall exactly how it is that it's supposed to fall. I thought about the apostles. I'll say a couple more things. I thought about the apostles when we're studying this. Think about this. Just throw away everything and you look at their outward life. Think about the apostle Paul. Look at his outward life. Is that something that you would look at and you think, boy, that would have been awesome? Thrown in dungeons. Snake bit by a snake. I probably should have killed him. Shipwreck. Anybody want to do that kind of stuff? Folks, there's going to be things that we're going to have to suffer. Yep. Not like that. Fight it. Fight the fight. Fight, thank you. Fight the fight. When it seems like there's no hope in sight, fight the fight. John the Baptist threw into prison for simply telling the truth, and then right after that had his head cut off. Does that sound like fun? No. There's going to be suffering, but it's a battle worth fighting. Amen. It is. I thought about it. We preach a lot of times. We'll tell people to put on the whole armor of God. You can go read that in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Let's just assume for a few seconds of time that you already got on the whole armor of God. You've put it on. You've listened to the sermons in times past. You've put it on. What does it look like? Is it battle scarred? Is it? Has it been through the battle? Or when the battle comes, you step aside. Somebody else will fight it, right? Folks, let the armor be battle scarred. You'll see people and they'll get into fights. And you'll see them, they'll be snot coming from their eyes, all sweaty, bloodshed. Folks, when I lay down this slough of life, I want there to be signs that there's been battle that took place. I do. I want there to be scars. Not from fighting with one another. That's foolish. You want to lose, do that. But from fighting the war, the evil going up against it. Let there be battle scars. Because one day, after a while, and Sister already said it this morning, this is a place of labor, just a time passing through. But I'll get to see the scars that was fought for me. I truly believe that one day I'll see the nail-pierced hands. The one that gave his life on me. Each time that we get down from the battle, we sing a song sometimes, come morning. Each time that we get down, we take one more look at Mount Calvary and the price that was paid on Golgotha's Hill for you and I. So in my advice or my thing that I tell you this morning, church, keep fighting. Fight the good fight. Boy, it must have looked silly getting cast in and out of prison, right? They kept fighting and fighting. In the 5th chapter of Acts, it said they counted a joy.
Amen.
Yeah. They could fight the cause. A time of war. A time of war. You pray for me. I don't know who the message was for. Probably for me. That I wouldn't skirt across the battle when it comes upon my doorstep. That I would try my very best to fight it. There are some things worth fighting for. That's our thought this morning. I don't know if it's homecoming. I don't even know exactly what that means in a sense. I just know the Lord gives us a thought, and that's it. When you get discouraged, fight. When you're up on top of the mountaintops, fight. When you don't know which way to turn, fight. When you get down in the valley, when you're walking down the road and it rains outside and you fall in the mud puddle and you've got mud all over you, fight anyway. Amen. Fight the battle that's set before us. There truly is a crown of righteousness. That's our thought this morning. We love each and every one of you. This church has been such a blessing to me, continue, and I believe it'll continue to be. My membership may be somewhere else, but I feel like I'm still a part of this body.
Amen.
I love you. Brothers, one, Sean, Brother Jared, not only them, but any of you preachers, whether you're preaching to 5 or 5 million, Each time that you get up to stand, you prepare like there is going to be 5 million. Why not? Because it's, and I'll say this, it has nothing to do with you. It's about Jesus. And that's what it's about. You prepare the same other way. I went to a lot of places. There have been two or three and had some of the best times of my life. Why? Because it wasn't about the people or myself. It was about Christ and Christ and Christ and Him crucified. Brothers, each time you preach, remember it's about Him. There'll be times you fall on your face. Fight anyway. Fight anyway. Get back up and keep going. Fall down again. Get back up again and keep going. Love each and every one of you dearly. That's your thought.